Amen. Good to be in his house. Yes. Brother Jamar, that was a blessing.
Yes, sure was, brother.
You know, I was thinking about it earlier. Sometimes we, not as everything don't turn out just like we want it, but you know what? We persevere through it. Amen?
Yes.
And so if you don't have the right key, you keep on till you find it. Amen.
Keep on. That's right.
And so I'm an example of that. I was talking to Miss John and her mom. And so we were talking about family trees and who was who, and I won't tell you how, but I'll just say I had a mishap. And so you know what you do? You persevere right on through. Amen. Because if you ain't messing up, you're probably not breathing.
That's it, right?
Amen. If you're not messing up, you're pushing up daisies or something, or bitter weeds or briar beds or whatever it was. But great to meet her daughter, and great to be with you all. And we're praying God's safety be with them in the journey.
Amen.
Y'all know as well as anybody, you jump out on the interstate, good luck. My wife had a really close call this past week. God was gracious to her, but just typical I-65 driving, and then everybody wants to crowd, and everybody wants to push, and tailgate, and all these things. And so, real quick, you see it and hear it all the time, but this car goes around a semi and loses control, and she was able to stay back out of the way and not get collected up in it all. But you just don't know.
No.
You know, it's much what David said. It's on a different level. David didn't have interstates.
Yeah.
But he said, there is but a step between me and death.
That's it.
Isn't that so?
Yeah.
David understood that. He understood when he laid down at night, he may not wake up in the morning. Why?
Yeah.
Because people wanted to destroy it.
That's it.
And so he was a man of war. He understood warfare and how it worked. And you sleep with one eye open. And so, you know, some of these men, some of you maybe were in Vietnam. And the things, you know, that you endure. You've got snipers, you got this, you got that. But in the world of non-combat, if we understand the enemy wants to do one thing, and that's destroy you.
Amen.
That's his job. And so, you know, the job God give us is to get people in the fold. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, how the Lord would have us to do his bidding.
Amen.
And so, you know, it's very important that we're fruitful for the Lord. And the way we bring forth fruit, we can bring fruit in a lot of different variety of ways. But the fruit bearing that Paul emphasizes throughout his gospel letters is that of winning souls. Amen.
Right.
Proverbs 11:30 said, he that winneth souls is wise.
Right.
So God's called us each one to soul winning. And whatever your gift is, and however God's enabled you to do that, we want to be about his business.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Look with me into the book of Acts. Got your Bible. Acts chapter 8. I want to see a couple of things here. And we'll talk about some other instances of doing the Lord's bidding. But I believe that, no doubt, as somebody has already mentioned, yesterday, Brother Leroy, God took him in this past week. And you know what happened? He got graduated. And so God promoted him. And so he's in the presence of the Lord. And how do we know that? Because Paul said so.
Yeah.
He said to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. With the Lord. Now I do believe Brother Ike, Brother Leroy has already had celebration time.
Yes, sir.
And you know how long they're going to celebrate? Forevermore. Amen. And so it ain't like if I see Brother Jamar somewhere at the grocery store and you know, we have a few moments there and fellowship's not like that. We go our separate ways. We're going to be with the Lord forevermore. And I don't know if we always grasp that, because we're so used to things being temporal. We're so used to things being temporary And so it's hard to get our finite minds around His infinite glory and wisdom and the fact that we're going to be with the Lord forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
And so it's never going to be an end to that. Worshiping God and celebrating His goodness. Acts chapter 8, if you got the Bible and you look in there with us, see it now in verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Talking about Stephen. He was consenting unto his death. Paul put his letter of approval on the fact that we're going to kill an anointed preacher by the name of Stephen, who God has filled with the Holy Ghost, and God has stirred him, and he's doing God's bidding, and now we're going to kill him. And he was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad. Throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching.
Yeah.
So what's scattered? Sounds like Paul's doing the scattering, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he's the ringleader of this tribe that is anti-Christ. Now don't feel like that's something that's in the past and it's not present today.
Yeah.
And we've already seen some of this crazy behavior. Saw a lot of it last year, especially last summer, didn't we?
Yeah.
And so it's anti-authority, anti-government, but also it's bigger than that. It's anti-Christ. Why? Because the rebel in man doesn't want anybody telling him what to do, man or woman, but we're talking about mankind.
Right.
Mankind doesn't want to be told what to do. And that's why Abel, we find that lost his life. Why? Because of the envy in the heart of his brother. And so when he slew him because, for one reason, he slew him because he was righteous and he was wicked. That's why. That's all it was about. That's the two forces that still prevail in the world today. And so we're going to be one or the other. Sometimes people think, well, I'm going to stay over here out of the way. No, you're not.
No,
you're not. Because Jesus said, he that's not against us is for us. But there's other times when he said, he that's for us is not against us. And so we see it here. He talked like this. Sometimes he talked in phrases that isolated people, and other times when he embraced them. And so the effect was according to what Jesus wanted to get across at the time. But here Paul is making havoc of the church, and he's ripping and tearing as we see it here. But I want you to watch this. And so he's going abroad, the church. Now I do believe that God used Paul to get the church out and about, don't you? I think this gathering up thing that they were doing was not the perfect will of God. And so people had to be reached. And so Paul was a tool in the hands of the Lord to scatter the church and get the word of God out. Amen.
Amen.
See, church is not about what all we do here. It's technically about what we do out there.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
And so we take the gospel to them. Forward down a little bit in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. You know why he went? Because they were scattered.
Yes.
That's why he went. And he preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake. And so, one place over, I want you to see something right here into the verse 26. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, key verse right here, 27. He arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure. This man was a leader under the queen, and he had authority over all of her treasure, and come to Jerusalem for to worship. And while he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading the Word of God.
Yes.
That's a good place to get convicted, isn't it?
Amen.
Reading God's Word, interested in God's Word. And so here we find that he's looking at the Word of God, and he's reading in Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, this is where we got to get, church.
Yes.
We got to get keen to what the Spirit of God is saying.
Amen.
And we don't have to be a Philip. We don't have to be one that always has a Bible under our arm. But we have to be in a place when God wants to say something through us.
Amen.
Or something to us. We're ready to hear and we're ready to speak. Watch now. So the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest. Notice his approach. Now I want you to go backward a little bit with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. How do we reach those, preacher? How are we going to reach them? We see it in Philip's example that he's led of the Spirit of God and he's drew near and he approached the Ethiopian eunuch. Did you notice where he's from? He's from Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And not from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He came to worship. He's going back. He's on the queen's business. Whatever's going on. And so he's traveling. And he's approached. Now see this. Totally different idea right here in Luke chapter 9. Begin reading in 51 if you got your place there. Luke 9:51. It came to pass when the time was come that he, talking about Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans. Now you know the background of the Samaritans, don't you? When the tribes were divided, Samaria went its way, and the many tribes that followed them. And so technically, so the Samaritans were divided against the Jews. And so this is why they said when Jesus come unto to the woman of the well, she said that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
Yeah.
That was the culture. Like, we don't socialize, we don't associate, we don't marry each other, we don't talk, we don't do anything.
Right.
And so she brought that up, and Jesus just ministered right on through that, didn't he? And so he didn't let that stop him. But there were social barriers there. And this all came in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. And so there was a separation. And that's how we find, if you ever wondered when you're reading the Old Testament, why is there two tribes over here and there's 10 tribes over there? That's because of the division that happened in that time. And so here we see it where they've approached and the Word said that the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. And so watch now. It came to pass, looking down into 52, he sent messengers and they went. And look into verse 53. And they did not, nothing's changed.
No.
They did not receive him. Mm-hmm. They want nothing to do with the Lord. See, the people we deal with today, sometimes, not always, we got a lot of Christian brothers and sisters out there in the workplace and where we socialize or eat or whatever that is.
Yeah.
But they don't all love the Lord.
No.
Do they?
No, sir.
And so here they understood that they did not receive him. They did not receive Christ because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Just because they thought he was going to Jerusalem. Nothing to do with it. We don't care about the miracles. We don't care about the 5,000. We don't care about the 2 fishes and 5 loaves. We don't care about that stuff. He looks like he's going to Jerusalem.
Yes.
Nothing to do with it. Do you see how people write off Christ? Now that today they wouldn't say they do it on something that trifle, but they do, don't they?
Amen.
And so otherwise, if they understood what would happen, their eyes would be open, they would receive Christ and be saved, because there's eternal consequences. If it was only common sense, church, everybody would be in. But it's not common sense. It's an uncommon calling. It's an uncommon cleansing. It's an uncommon. Listen, if you're on the side of Christ this morning and you belong to Him, it's not because of accident or happenstance. It's because of a miracle which became a divine appointment with the Creator of all things.
Yes.
God put His hand and His call on your life.
Hallelujah.
And they wouldn't receive Him. They knew He was Jesus. They'd watched all these things. Won't receive Him.
You know, we can all talk about our personal experience. And it would be a variation for everybody, because I don't think, as we all are individuals, I think our calling is all individual.
Yes.
I think how God got us here into His fold and into His will, I think that is individual life, don't you?
And so it would be variations of all sorts. But here, these people, in their culture, have rejected Christ for no apparent reason except for one thing, and that's the background from which He came. And so those barriers, sometimes they're because of color, sometimes they're because of social standing, sometimes it's because of financial standing, or where they went to college, or where they didn't go to college, or something of that sort. But whatever the barrier is, to those that have it, it's real.
That's right.
And it's got to be torn down, don't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be torn down. Watch them. They would not receive Him. They did not. Verse 53. Because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, would Thou have us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as did Elias?"
For starters, I don't know why James and John thought they could be Elijah.
Yeah.
Think about that. There had to be something going on in these boys' heart. I mean, they done got themselves all worked up about this matter and said, "Look, why?" For starters, why did they even think they could call fire down? Number one,
yeah.
And that the Lord would want them to call fire down. Number two,
amen.
So it shows you they're still caught up in this thing.
That's it.
It's like when tensions build, we all go back to our roots, isn't it?
That's it.
And so Jesus is not interested in destroying them. He's going to spell that out in a moment. He made it very clear, "I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And so James and John, for whatever reason, they think they've got this power that they do not have. And Jesus looked at them, and this is where the church is sometimes. He looked at them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of."
Yeah.
And here's a revelation. Even saved folks get in the wrong spirit.
Amen.
Even saved people get out of the will of God. We all know this, but trust me, there are some that don't know this. And so here, the call of God has came to win people, and these fellows are doing exactly the opposite of that. And I'm going to show you this in a moment. And so here, they're like, "Hey, listen, God, if they won't do it right, we'll just call fire down from heaven." Remember how Elijah did that? "We'll call fire down and we'll just destroy it." And then Jesus' attention, I believe, was more toward them boys than it was them other folks, don't you? He probably thought, "We've got problems here that we weren't even aware of." I mean, if we all wanted to get a machine gun and go to some tribe somewhere and take them out, we've got issues, wouldn't you say it?
Yes.
It's the same level that these fellows were. And so Peter, James, and John, we call them the special three, don't we? It seems like they were the Lord and called out by name more than any other disciple. Peter, James, and John. And sometimes they were the biggest rebel rousers, fighting against Christ's work. I would imagine Jesus probably thought sometimes, if these boys get out of the way, ain't gonna tell them what we could do. Yeah. And do you ever feel like that, if we could get out of our own way and just love people and win people and encourage them?
Amen.
You said, "Preacher, I don't believe like they do." You don't have to.
No.
Jesus didn't believe like Peter, James, and John when he called them, but he still called them.
Yeah.
And he didn't believe like me and you when he called us, but he still called us, didn't he? And the call of God and the conviction of God, and it's the spirit that you're of. It's not necessarily, you say, "Well, I don't know what they know. I can't relate to them about all of these issues." That's not it. It's being a good listener and being available. Amen.
Amen.
You think about the people that God is drawing, the people that He is calling to His purpose and His work, are people just like you and I.
Yeah.
And we may not even know where they are, spiritually speaking, but Jesus knows where they are. And He just wants a word of encouragement out of us to them.
Amen.
To point them to Christ. So these boys were like, "Hey, they won't pay any mind. We'll call fire down from heaven. And Lord, if You'll just let us, we'll burn them up." And He said, "You don't know what manner of spirit you're of."
Mm-hmm.
And He dealt with them there. In verse 56, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives."
Hallelujah.
We know this. If our loved ones go to hell, if they die and go to a devil's hell, it will be against the will of God.
Yeah.
They'll go totally against what God's designed and what Christ preached and what we all stand for. If that happens, God forbid it happens, but if it does, it'll be because they went around all the roadblocks,
yeah,
all the barriers. You know, we see it sometime now. The state does a really good job. They got all kind of cute little flashing signs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an intersection close to my place where, just a few miles away, where for whatever reason, lots of beach traffic through there, and so for whatever reason, they just won't stop. And so here recently, there was a log truck that's overturned trying to avoid somebody that's pulled out. And so they put flashing signs out, and you've seen the kind, solar panel powered, and they've got blinking lights all day. You know how long they blink? Every day. All the time. And you know what the sign says? Same thing it's always said.
That's it.
Stop!
Yeah.
That's what it says. And so you know what happens when we hear a sermon? That is a stop sign on somebody's road to hell, probably, unless everybody's saved.
Yeah.
And so here, they go around the stop sign, and they pay no attention. And no matter how many cute little lights you got, they still not going to stop. And so log trucks overturn trying to avoid them. Always, every time you hear an ambulance crank up in our little town, it's normally headed out to the same intersection. Why? Because there's been the same occurrence has happened there. And so all of these things go on because people just won't heed the warning. That's why.
That's right.
And if men and women leave lost, they'll go around all the warning signs and stop signs that God's put in their way.
Amen.
You know, we can talk about people that we help and we encourage and we win to the Lord. And it ain't always what we say that does it, is it?
No.
It's the love of God that brings conviction.
Yes.
You know, I think I told you about the young man that we really mistreated. We treated him pretty bad. We were all 19 and 20 years old, 18, whatever it was in school, after high school. And this is a young preacher, man. We treated him really bad. But you know what happened? The Holy Ghost
use that because he was willing to suffer it. The Holy Ghost used it to convict my heart. Because, you know, it just ain't as funny when you're kicking somebody, not literally, but, you know, you're making a laughing stock out of somebody that loves God, and then you walk off when the crowd's gone later on, and the Holy Ghost says, he's one of mine.
There you go.
You're messing with one of mine.
Uh-huh.
And he never would rear up and kick, he never would say anything, never would come back, he'd just mildly go on. And it kind of seals the scene, doesn't it? I mean, really, you know, you have, especially young guys, you know, get all worked up about that stuff, and, you know, they all full of vinegar and having a good time at somebody else's expense. But the Holy Ghost knows how to redirect that back to the convicted heart.
Amen.
And I thought, wow, you know, he never said anything. You know, people say, well, if I just give them a piece of my mind. But sometimes you can't afford that.
That's right.
And sometimes it's just not what's going to do the work. If you suffer those things, God's gospel talks about suffering. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that it makes us greater if we suffer, but it's what it does to those. Yeah, we see this in the Word. Watch this now.
Amen.
So right here, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. Forward back a little bit to Acts 8 chapter again. I want you to see this before we close up, because this kind of ties the point. These disciples were doing the best they could, best they can, but in past tense, the best they could is what they've done. Their understanding's like ours, it's limited.
Right.
I thank God for people who have been patient with me all these years for a lack of understanding.
Me too.
You know, sometimes zeal makes us, you know, so energetic to get something done for Jesus. But if we don't watch out, we'll totally miss the point. And that's what's going on in James and John's life.
Amen.
And they said, Lord, if they won't hear the gospel, bless God, we'll just call fire down from heaven. Because I remember Elijah done that. Mm-hmm. And Elijah done that. And if you'll let us do it, we'll do it. We'll call fire down from heaven and destroy them. And Jesus had to give them a message on what he's doing here. He didn't come to destroy, but to save. You back to Acts chapter 8?
Yeah.
Watch this. Paul comes on the scene. We talked about that in the early verses. And here's Philip. After Paul's making havoc of the church in verse number 3, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Personally, I think God used Paul to do some of his dirty work before he saved him. Because Paul scattered the church. And that's what Christ wanted.
Amen.
He wanted a scattered church, because if we all stay in here, we're probably not going to win many folks, are we? And so they were all huddled up and congregated together, and that's okay. They needed that support, but there also come a time when they needed to be scattered.
Yes.
And so Jesus' gospel is more favorable to a scatter barrel approach. Is that not true? Because we all have people, you can invite them to the cows come home, they're probably not going to come here. Or they're not going to go to the next church next door. But the only gospel they may hear is that you share.
Yes.
And that they see in us.
Amen.
So here they're scattered. And now Jesus has got them where he wants them, and they're out there doing the Lord's work. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ. He preached Christ. The only thing I'm going to say about it, don't take it that to be anything else. He didn't preach doctrine. That's not the goal. That's later. He's preaching Christ.
Yeah.
You know what men and women need that don't need Christ? They need, or that don't have Christ, they just need Christ. That's what they need.
Amen.
And he'll grow them. God knows how to grow youngins.
Yes.
And he'll grow them into that he wants them to be.
Amen.
So Philip went down. Look into the ninth verse. Look into the 12th verse. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, and Simon himself believed. All right, so Simon's believed. Simon the sorcerer, we talked about him. And then Peter's dealing with this matter down in the 20th verse. But go down to 26. And the angel of the Lord. Now they're preaching the gospel to the villages and the Samaritans. Catch you up right there. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And so he arose and went. And this is where the man of Ethiopia comes into the picture, of great authority, and he's dealing with him. We read this passage right here. But look forward, forward into the 30th verse. Philip ran thither to him. Philip is not on a chariot. This man is on a chariot. And Philip knew he probably had one opportunity to cross paths with this man.
Amen.
And he ran to him. God give us the Spirit to encourage people, not to scare them away. I'm not talking about something crazy, but give us a hunger and a yearning in our heart to get the gospel to them.
Yeah.
And Philip ran, and the word said, as he came to him, then the Spirit said, join thyself, verse 29, and so he did so, and he asked him, understandest what thou readest? And he said, I like the honesty of the fellow, don't you? How can I, except some man guide me? He wasn't a know-it-all. He had an ear to hear. Jesus said in Matthew 11:15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So here he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip. There are people out there, church, that will desire to know more about Christ. They will desire and hunger for the Lord. And who does that? Who wakes them up? God does. Who stirs them? It's the Lord that does that. We just want to be available tools in His hand. When somebody's going through something, they've lost a loved one. They've lost a grandfather. Big family here yesterday. Brother Leroy and Miss Teams had a wonderful family. I was telling my wife, come down. It was a sweet spirit in the service yesterday. I promise you, there's some of those hearts and minds that have an ear to hear today, maybe what they didn't have an ear to hear at some past tense time. But you know what happens when we get faced with reality, sickness or disease or death or whatever that is, God uses those things and combines those things with His Word to wake us up. And so this man said, how can I know except some man should guide me? And he desired, see that key word, he desired Philip.
That's it.
That he would come up and sit with him. It could be a chariot ride. It could be a cup of coffee at the Waffle House. It could be anything of those sorts. God puts somebody in your path and you give them a word.
That's it, brother.
It could be quick. It could be short. But it's a word of encouragement.
That's it.
And you know what we do? We plant seeds. He that goeth forth planting seeds, sowing seeds. What happens? Brother, God brings the increase.
Right.
And so here, Philip's planting seed. And so he's not like that bunch over there in Luke chapter 9 that said, hey, let's call fire down and destroy it. Jesus, we would really like that. If you'd allow us, we know how Elijah did it. We know how Elijah did it. Let us do it like Elijah did. We'll just call fire down from heaven and get rid of them right now. You know not what manner of spirit you're of, he said. And Philip here said, how can I? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And he asked the question. Go down a little bit. Verse number 34. The last thing I'd like you to see. He asked the question. And the question was, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself?
Yeah.
Or of someone else?
There you go.
Verse 35 said, he opened his mouth and preached to him, not the Baptist doctrine,
no.
Not the church hymnal,
no.
Not what the governor said, but he began to preach Christ unto him.
Amen.
The message of Christ, church, as we get ready to stand together, the message of Christ still gets the job done. Amen.
Amen.
It's the only message that gets the job done.
That's it.
And if I can reiterate it one more time, there's not another message that'll get the job done. And Philip understood. Philip could have talked about all his experiences. He could have talked about everything that had happened in the past few days. He didn't choose that because God didn't lead that. He preached Christ unto them.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And he said, see and here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, sir, if thou believest with all thine heart. You know what salvation is? It's a change of the heart. And with all thine heart, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And so he saw the Ethiopian saved, and what happened? The Holy Ghost caught him away.
The Spirit caught him away and took him to another place. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes.
As we stand this morning, I want to ask you something. Where is your priority list on seeing sinners saved? We forget, we start thinking about ministry and we start thinking about all of these other things and work and office work and this and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with ministry. But somewhere along the way, administration hides the effect of ministry. God's called us to win those, to put a word in their heart, to say something. It doesn't have to be straighten them out. Matter of fact, that usually does not work.
No.
And so, but it's a word of encouragement. It's a word of admonishment. It's a word of prayer, or a word of support.
Yes.
Whatever it is that God's allowed you to inject in their life to avoid the negative and give them something positive that points them to Him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And so when he joined unto him, from the place that he read, he said, of who speaketh this man? The Inquisition got to him, didn't it? God arose a curiosity in his heart.
Yes.
And he sought and received Christ. Amen. Maybe Miss Emily can come this morning.
Amen.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask you one question. How is it, as she plays, how is it with you in Christ today?